This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And so today I am just as pleased as punch to be speaking with my friend Bill O'Hanlon, because to me he really embodies that idea of running your business and your life according to your own rules. So Bill, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. You know, you're one of my favorite people. It's nice to be on your podcast.
Oh, fun. So I think a lot of people in my audience don't know you yet. So you want to let people know kind of who you are and what business or businesses you run.
Well, I'll tell you, I was trained as a psychotherapist, and I had the great good fortune when I was very young, just as I was becoming a psychotherapist, to meet the weirdest guy. He was an eccentric psychiatrist named Milton Erickson, and he warped me for the rest of my life. And that, I think, informs where I ended up, because I became a therapist, but I never really fit in therapy land, because Erickson was a psychotic optimist. He believed everybody could change if you found a creative, weird way to reach them. And so when I became a therapist, I was hanging around these people that were really focused on what was wrong with people, how damaged they were, and how hopeless sometimes their situations were. And that really launched me into something beyond my psychotherapy practice. I worked in community mental health centers, then in private practice. And I got so pissed off about what was going on in my field, that it was so negative and so focused on what was wrong with people, and so discouraging in a lot of ways. And also, I'm kind of a fast person, and I was impatient. I didn't want to wait for years and analyze people. I wanted a briefer therapy. So I got on fire with this, both with the love for what I was doing and the being pissed off about what was going on in my field. And it launched me out to speak and all around the world and to write. And I've written 36 books out of that. And I wasn't a natural writer or a speaker. So I guess that's what I do now. I write mostly and I teach people. And I've gone beyond psychotherapy into general other kinds of areas, partly teaching people to write books because I wrote so many, but also just in self-development and marketing and things like that, some of the stuff you do.
Yeah. I'm going to jump to that. I'm going to jump to that question because, you know, you give talks, you write, write books, you help writers write books, you help people figure out how to market their stuff. You are one of those people, you know, some people, they have one great dream for their life and they live it, and that's awesome. And I admire those people and kind of envy them. You are somebody who has all these passions. So any thoughts on the people who are having a hard time figuring out, you know, I want to do everything. I want to do all of it.
Yes. Well, I've also always had that advice. I'm a little sparky. I don't like diagnoses, but I'm sort of on the ADD side of things, if you were going to put me on a spectrum. But I think, you know, there was Stephen Wright, the comedian, said a long time ago, you can't have everything. He's a very deadpan guy. You can't have everything. Where would you put it? Right. And I would say the same thing about doing everything. You could do lots of stuff. You just can't do it all at once. And so I just sort of follow. You know, I'm not one of these people who sits down and writes my strategic plans for 5 years or whatever. I have done that, but mostly I don't. Mostly I do it by braille. And I have four things that guide me. It's sort of what brings me alive. I think there are four energies that I keep paying attention to that, you know, it's warmer, colder, you know, and I just follow the warmer ones, and it's blissed, blessed, pissed, and dissed. That is What do I love? That's the bliss part. What do I just can't stop thinking about, reading about, talking to people about, learning about? That's the bliss part. And blessed is, who do you meet along the way who sees something in you, who feels something in you and says, wow, you're really good at that. You should do more of that. Or you should write a book about that. Or you should, you know, tell people about this. Or you should do more in this, in your business in this. So that's the blessed part. Somebody believes in you, encourages you, opens the path, mentors you, or you're just, you just role model on them from afar because you think, wow, I want to do what that person is doing or something akin to it. So that's the sort of positive energies that I go with a lot. And I follow those energies. And then the two sort of more negative energies, but then you got to turn them into something that contributes, is pissed and dissed. And pissed is just, what do you, what just upsets you so much that you want to correct or fix or talk about that's wrong in the world, that people have gotten wrong or that are hurting people, or, you know, that just is bad, or, you know, you want to fix in some way. So I certainly was that way. I overcame my shyness because I was a painfully shy guy until my mid-20s. And I began to speak because I was so pissed about what was going on. And then the last one really quickly is dissed. Where have you been wounded? Where have you been sensitized to certain areas of your life because someone you cared about or yourself has been hurt in some way or wounded or had some challenge, big challenge in life? I was molested when I was a kid, so I'm very sensitive to people's pain and to people intruding upon other people in an unwanted way. And that informed me as a therapist. It informs me in life, and it's informed some of the books I've written. So that's how I figure it out. I can't do everything at once, but I just follow where the energy leads me at that moment. And then I guess you have to go to completion too, because I'm kind of sparky, but I learned to finish projects and get them out in the world. And, you know, that's one of the things I've admired about you. You had lots of ideas and everything, but you did something, you put it out in the world, and it's led you to many places you wouldn't have gone if you had just started things and never finished them. And I think that's another component of, you can't do everything at once. You have to figure out something to put out in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. I want to circle back a little bit to this idea of the permission slip to run things the way you should, because that's such a theme in my life, and I know it's a theme in your life.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite word for my corporate career was naive. I was called naive about a thousand times for, you know, thinking that employees were adults and thinking that customers wanted to hear the truth, and, you know, all these crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Could you maybe talk about a time, you know, I think you've probably had a lot of these, but where you did something that made maybe your peers or your colleagues even, you know, kind of uncomfortable because you were breaking some kind of a rule. And I hope people know we're not talking about breaking a rule like a real ethical rule, like hurting someone. Right. We're talking about breaking a rule that's there that just doesn't really seem to serve us.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what you said at the beginning. As long as you don't lie, do something unethical, hurt people, can you find your own path? And I think, you know, it is, being a therapist has really informed me in this, because I've sat with people that were, when you get to the depths of people, people are profoundly weird. I don't mean this in a judgmental way. I'm just saying, you know, everybody's a little weird or a lot weird. Some people are a little more weird than others. And most of us are trying to fit in, be loved, you know, be secure, make it in life. And so we sort of smooth over that weirdness. And I think, you know, and one of the things I've admired about you, and, you know, Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, you really embrace who you are. And I think that that's what I learned from being a therapist all these years. I started out with a lot of shame, and now I got to not let people know who I am because I'm too weird. And I started to embrace that more and more. You know, I had a friend who once, when he heard me talk about having been molested when I was a kid at a conference, and then I kind of was joking during the story that I was telling, and I was saying how it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me because the person who molested me confused me, and that's how they manipulated me into the molestation situation. I was a kid. And I said, now it's really great because I've learned to write books really quickly because I have to figure out confusing masses of information, and I can do it really quickly. And so it's easy for me to write books, easy for me to teach. And he stood up, and he was a good friend of mine. He stood up in the audience afterwards, and he said, I just want you all to know Bill O'Hanlon is a deviant. And everyone sort of gasped because, you know, I just revealed that I've been molested and everything. And I was laughing because I knew for him that was a big compliment. He said, yeah, who would have told the story of the molestation in a group of therapists like this, you know, and laughed about it and used humor and said it turned out really well in a lot of ways. Bill's a deviant. What I think we can model on is he's so comfortable with his deviancy. He embraces his deviancy. And I think that is one of the lessons I learned both as a therapist and I learned in doing things out in the world is there's a lot of people that are like everybody else, but there's very few people that are like you. Can you embrace your deviance? Can you, you know, embrace your weirdness and not, as you say, in a harmful way or evil way or manipulative or unethical way, but in a way it's just like, this is me. This is the package I come in. And, you know, I change over time, but basically I'm weird, you're weird, and I'm going to show up with all my weirdness. And that has been a key to my success. I suspect a key to your success. And I suspect a key to most people's who've really gone far in life. They've somehow gotten, even if they have a great deal of shame, they somehow embrace their weirdness and put it out in the world.
Yeah, it's sad and fascinating to me how many people hide the best parts of themselves. You know, they hide the parts that are really what makes them kind of fantastic, because those are they are weird, or they're different, or they don't conform, or maybe it's not aligned with the family they grew up in. Of course, that, you know, we see that a lot. And a lot of times that's your real strength, is all the stuff you're trying desperately to paper over.
To vapor over, smooth yeah. over, fit in. Well, you know, this may time date us, but we're recording this around the time that Bruce Jenner, 65 years old, and he comes out, you know, as I'm a woman. And I think 65 years, what the hell? That must have been torture living with that for so long, of not being who you say you are, who you think you are, and trying to get love other ways, or trying to fit in or be successful in other ways. And I, as a therapist, I've just seen the suffering that comes from that. As a business and marketing person, I've seen, you know, the person just doesn't put their energy, they're keeping so much energy confined, and they're looking like everybody else that they don't stand out from the crowd. And I think, yeah, embrace your deviance and be as weird as you are, again, without hurting other people.
Yeah. I always feel like you have this secret weapon because you are a trained psychotherapist. And I always think, well, that would be cool for, you know, for being a business owner or a marketer, because, you know, marketing is just a word we use for communicating what we do and how we help.
I think that, you know, at first I was a little uncomfortable being, you know, most of us who are therapists are not trained in business, marketing at all. And I wanted to get my work out in the world. I wanted to get it into the hands and the eyes and the ears of everyone who wanted it, and people who didn't want it, that's okay with me. But I wasn't getting it out effectively because I had, you know, inhibitions about that, or I just didn't have any knowledge about it. And when I love what you just said, because when I finally figured out, oh, what they mean by marketing is what I would call relationships, connection, and also persuasion. You learn, you know, there's in psychology, there are tools, you know. One of my old professors, Robert Cialdini, has written this book about how to influence people, social psychology studies that show it. And I've had to do that as a therapist. I mean, when someone comes in, they want to change, but they're finding it really hard to change. They kind of are fighting against themselves. And you're a persuader as a therapist. You're going to have to get people to do things that are outside their comfort zone. And when I finally got, oh, marketing and business, it's all about relationships, connection, and persuasion. Oh, well, that I can do. Yeah. I've been doing that as a therapist. I've been doing that as a human all my life. And it wasn't so much, oh, you got to manipulate people or be fake again and maneuver them, but don't let them know the real truth. The real truth is your most powerful marketing message, because it's the same thing that works in relationships. If you hide who you are, you're not going to develop very intimate relationships or real or authentic relationships. So authenticity, relationships, connection, persuasion, big stuff. And I guess I would add one more, and this is sort of came out of my work with the guy I mentioned I studied with who mentored me, is stories. I just, he was a storyteller, and I wasn't trained in that as a psychotherapist, but when I went to study with him, he would tell like 10 stories, and I would think, where's the psychotherapy? And then I would go away and I would see people change, or I would be changed. And so stories are another element that I would add to what I was able to bring from my previous life as a psychotherapist into the business and marketing life. And I love stories.
Yeah. I stole one of Bill's stories, which was, I think, one of Erickson's stories
yes.
that I found in a book of Bill's, The African Violet Stories. So I won't spoil it for you guys, but I will link to it. But it is a tremendous, it's the kind of story that can really change your life because it can change the whole way that you think about what you do.
That story did change my life in that I became a different kind of therapist who focused on the African violet parts of people's lives. So again, people can go see this. Actually, there's a place not only that was in a book, and you've written a blog post about it, but it was in a book called Do One Thing Different. That was a book that got me on Oprah. So it's probably my best-selling book. And I recorded that story later and put it on my blog, which has a bunch of videos on it, of stories of changeinpossibility.com. So people can go listen to me tell an oral version of it and watch the nonverbals if they want to go hear that story. But that story is a powerful story. I agree.
Yeah. Really cool. I want, because I have a feeling you've got lots of these, but I would love for you to share maybe a piece of advice or a way of looking at the world, something for people listening to this who are trying to build something. And again, so they're deviants, right? Like you and I are.
Yeah.
They're different. What they do doesn't seem to fit very neatly into the mold. It could be a business idea, or it could just be an idea for a satisfying kind of a side project. What do you tell somebody who comes up to you and says, Bill, can you give me some advice about business or about just taking something new and putting it into the world?
Yes, I think, I'm big on patterns, and I've observed patterns. And one of the things that is true for me, and I've read a bunch of biographies and listened to a bunch of people talk about their life and success, is I think there's one element, you need to be a little obsessive. And I don't mean obsessive compulsive in a sort of a pathological or, illness sort of way. I mean, you need to be so obsessed with something that, is your deviance, whatever your interest is. And then you need to put it out in the world. I mean, those are the two elements for me. I just couldn't get enough of Milton Erickson's work when I studied with him. And then I just couldn't stop myself from talking about it. And these days with blogs and podcasts, and you have access to putting it out to your tribe and whoever might be interested in that. So I would say that's one thing that I've learned is you can't just live with it inside you as a passion. In order to, you got to run it up a flagpole. And usually to do that at first, you do it for free. So I started editing a newsletter. I didn't make any money from it, but it was about Erickson's work. And I just did it out of the pure love. And people started seeing that I would put my workshops in there and other people's workshops who were teaching about this. And somebody called me up from England and said, hey, will you come over and teach workshops? And I was like, I never expected that in a million years to come out of it. I was doing it because I had to and because I wanted to connect with people in this area. And I just did things for free until it turned into not free. And then it became a business. Then I could spend more time doing what I loved. And so it's this back and forth. But probably you need to figure out, you got to do it for free at first to develop connections, relationships, and a reputation, and then it will lead to getting paid. I didn't really go into it to get paid, but then I figured out, wow, you can get paid for this. That's cool. So that was a lesson I learned, I think.
Yeah. And today we talk about content marketing, big buzzword. Yeah. And that's all content marketing. That's, or at least it's not all it is, but that's the core of it,
yeah.
Is speaking to some kind of passionate thing that you see that would make the world better in some way. And the doors that open are not always doors you had any idea were even there.
Most of the time not. Yeah, most of the time not. But if you put it out in the world, you never know what to roll up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think people would probably love to know more about you and connect more with you and see more of your work. Are there some places people can find you, can see what you do, can read your books, listen to you, watch you, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, I have about 36 books, so they're on all different topics.
Take your pick.
Because I have interest in, you know, hypnosis and brief therapy and couples therapy and personal development. That's what that Do One Thing Different book is. And so they can just go on Amazon and search for my name, which is Bill O'Hanlon. And they could go on BillO'Hanlon.com to find some of that stuff as well. I'm on Facebook. And I was saying before that my blog, Stories of Change and Possibility, I just recorded some of my favorite stories and put them out there. And I do that every once in a while. And then I do teach people how to write books, because people, you know, when they find out you've written one book, or as I, in my case, 36, ago, how do I want to write a book? How do I do it? So I have this free report that I give away to people to kind of jumpstart and get them to think about. I'm mostly nonfiction, you know, how to help people and, you know, how to books and things like that. And they can go to getyourbookwritten.com to get that free report. And then they'll get more encouragement from me. I'll have some follow-up emails that take you through a few months of getting yourself to write that book. Because a lot of people have the idea to write a book, but they don't do the thing. You know, you and I have talked about this. You know, it's the same thing with blog writing, the same thing with podcasting. People have lots of ideas, but until they put them out in the world, nobody can find out about those ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, I'm going to whet people's appetites. Bill and I could kind of yak for quite a while, and we often do when we see each other. But I'm going to sort of whet your appetite with this. Encourage you to check out his stuff, everything he does. Something I like a lot and respect about Bill is he is kind of a stickler for quality, so he doesn't slap things together. I mean, everything he does is thought out, and he really thinks about creating value. So you will find good things if you follow the links that I get for you guys. So I just want to let you guys know that the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. And Bill, it's just been so fun talking with you. Thank you so much for
hanging out. Thank you so much. You know, I always enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, everybody.